Hello, friends. This episode is sponsored by one of my most favorite Catholic charities, Mary's Meals. The problems and injustices of the world can seem insurmountable and overwhelming at times, and one of the most urgent injustices of our time is a lack of adequate nutrition for all. Hunger shouldn't be a problem in a world that produces enough food for everyone. School feeding is one measure that can help with food security and one that has great potential to address some of the issues that perpetuate hunger. Mary's Meals works with vulnerable communities to run school feeding programs in areas where poverty and hunger are common barriers to education. Mary's Meals' global program relies heavily on community engagement and volunteer involvement, procures food locally wherever possible to stimulate local markets, and provides a social security net for parents whose circumstances mean they struggle to always provide a meal at home. This kind of program can be scaled up effectively to meet the needs of thousands and even millions of children at relatively low costs. There are countless opportunities for small daily acts of love that can help to lift the burden of hunger from individuals, and we can all play a part, no matter how grand or how humble, we are responding together. So let's unite against hunger and continue with the understanding that despite inevitable setbacks, we have a very good reason to persist in this fight. It costs just $31.70 Canadian or $25.20 US to feed a child for an entire school year. That's not per month. That's for an entire year. To put that number into perspective, that's the equivalent of just 5 lattes from your favorite coffee shop. For just pennies per meal, you can ensure that a vulnerable child will receive life-changing, nutritious meals while they learn. That is amazing. I personally support Mary's Meals. I've met their founder. I've seen their work up close. They are amazing. So visit their website at marysmeals.ca in Canada or marysmealsusa.org in the US to learn the different ways you can get involved to help achieve the dream of zero hunger. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Abiding Together podcast. And we are delighted to be with you on this adventure. And I know that the Lord is going to do wonderful things in all of our hearts. The Abiding Together podcast is a place where you can find connection, rest, and encouragement on your journey with Jesus Christ. And wherever you find yourself in the world, wherever you find yourself in your life, you are most welcome here. And we know that the Lord will speak to you. My name is Sister Miriam James Heidland, and every week I am joined by two of my very dearest friends, Heather Kim and Michelle Benzinger. And we speak about what the Lord is doing in our life. We speak about our sorrowful mysteries, our joyful mysteries, and how the Lord is leading us in it all. And you are most welcome right here, right here. So please grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and welcome home. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Abiding Together podcast, and welcome to the 4th week of Lent. Ladies, we are in it. We are in Lent. There you go.
In it to win it. Let's go.
People are like, well, it's still Lent. This is like, Lent is very long. This is very long. And once again, we are walking through Mother Mary Frances' book, A Time of Renewal, which are her daily reflections for the Lenten season. And we are going to begin on page 178. So we talk about the theme for Sunday. We'll talk about the other days too, but this is the 4th Sunday of Lent, year B, which the title of this particular reflection that she has is Filling Up the Sufferings of Christ. And I don't know about you, Michelle and Heather, but just reading a lot of great feedback from our listeners on this book, what has been your experience overall, Heather, as we kind of sit with this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, everything that I've been hearing from the listeners reading in our private Facebook group, people are really, really loving this. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy about that. And even people who are like, I didn't get the book because it was sold out or whatever, and they're just listening to the podcast. It sounds like it's been really fruitful. So praise God. And for me as well, personally, I must say, it's been very good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Michelle?
I feel like it, you know, oftentimes when I feel like in Lent, it's the lentiest Lent. I am like, you can hear, I have like the scratch in my voice. I got whatever's going around, the flu or whatever. Mm-hmm. Girl, I've been down and out sick.
You got sick,
you know,
girl.
It's been a long time since I've been mm-hmm. this down and out. So yeah. So you're like, okay, Lord, because all you can do is think of all your to-do list. And the Lord's like, can you just spend time with me? Mm-hmm. You know? And so
you're like, no, I'm busy doing Lent. I don't have time to spend time with you.
Exactly. Exactly. He's asking me to be Mary, and I'm very like, busy. I want to Martha you, Lord. No, do you not see what I have to do? Like, I totally feel like the Martha. Do you not see what I have to do? And the Lord's like, can you just sit at my feet? So that is how I'm feeling. But I'm like, okay, Lord.
Isn't that so true? We do that. We're like, Lord, I'm very busy doing
exactly.
your work. It's like, no, I know.
Come on. I got things to do.
Stop interrupting all
exactly.
the good things I'm doing.
Move on.
You know what? I was on a webinar yesterday with some panelists from around the world. It was so cool. And one of the panelists is from the UK, and he's a clinical psychologist. And I've never heard this. Maybe you guys have heard this, but he really doesn't like to use the word busy. And he said, busy stands for burdened under Satan's yoke.
Ooh, I think that's great.
And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm.
because he said, like, we're so busy. And he said, when you say you're busy, he's like, many times you're doing your own thing. But he said, when you tell somebody you're busy, you're implicitly saying to them, I don't have time for you. So hurry up and get whatever you need done, done, so I can move on to what's really important. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That is really good.
Snap. That's woo.
And it's interesting because I've thought about that a couple of times, and I've even tried to change my vocabulary. When people are like, how are you? You know, like the first thing you reply is, oh, I'm so busy. Da, 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 da. I say, life is full. Mm-hmm. Like just saying life is full, because it's always going to be full. Like this just side of heaven and the amount of kids I have. And so all that kind of stuff. But yeah, busy. There's something about busy that does, it feels impressive. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. Oh yes. We're so busy.
It does. Mm-hmm. It feels impressive. Like, where one of the things I'm really like, all right, where's the ease of the Lord? You know, his burden is easy. So where's the ease of the Lord? Mm-hmm. And I can tell when am I in my own strength and when I'm in the Lord's strength. And he's making sure I don't have any strength because I've been sick. So anyway, there you go. So let's jump in.
Okay. So we're going to pull from Mother Mary Frances highlights the Colossians, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is chapter 1, verse 13, when St. Paul says, he delivered us from the dominion of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. And our quote is, real learning brings us to a greater and greater depth, a greater understanding of God within our poor little human limitations, and a greater understanding of ourselves. We have only a superficial understanding of ourselves. It can never be complete because God knows that we aren't quite able to take ourselves in a single great gulp. And that's just so great. Mother Mary Frances begins to draw us into these places. And yeah, this is a really rich reflection. So Michelle, do you want to start us off? What did you notice as we start with the Sunday of filling up the sufferings of Christ? What stuck out to you?
What stuck out to me was in the very introduction when she talks about the musical notes and the analogy, and she said, another analogy is found in music, where there's a note called the tonic and a note called the dominant in every musical key. The tonic note is any key and where the melody comes to rest. It is like the foundational note. Then there is the dominant note, which reoccurs again and again, and notes in the tonic chord always reached to the dominant. I think there's a good way to envision Lent. There's a tonic penance, and the dominant is love, and love comes to rest on the penance, which is the foundation of Lent. And she goes on to talk about the redeeming love of Christ. And I think it's just really highlighting that theme once again for us, like repentance and love go hand in hand, but they're supposed to be in harmony with one another, because repentance is turning around and coming closer to the Lord. It's like leaning in to the one that who loves us more than more, where I think a lot of us still think repentance is punitive, where instead of it, repentance is intimacy. Repentance is closeness. Repentance is, you know, the Lord coming down to be tender with us. Yeah, but I just like that whole image that she gives of them being in harmony with one another, that they're one, they go together and they're not opposed to one another. So Heather, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's so good. The part that stuck out to me in that first Sunday was just on that first page where she says, all through Lent, we're being invited very urgently by the liturgy to make wholehearted choices, to struggle, to put on the armor of holiness, and to go out armed for the battle. And then talking about how the ancient name for Lent is the season of the battle.
Amen.
And I was like, I just appreciate the urgency. We can often just be lulled into like this sort of like mediocre sleepiness about life and a lot of things. And that's why I really appreciate the church giving us seasons. It's like this wake up call, like an alarm clock is going off every time we go to the liturgy, and it's waking us up to proper urgency, not out of fear, not out of like an improper vigilant spirit that is like anxious and stuff like that, but just like an urgency to come close to the Lord, like to remember what is the most important things and to fight for it, like to get your heart in the game, you know, like I just appreciate that so much. And I know I need that a lot in my life. So yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, sister?
I agree. And her writings are just so beautiful, and they're so lyrical in how she writes. And I too was thinking about agonia, like the season of the battle and just the difficulties of Lent. And it's okay that Lent is hard. That's okay. And I just last night, you know, full hashtag nun confessions here, I was like so tempted to go back on one of my Lenten penances, and that, you know, that it was nothing sinful, but I was like, I, you know, promised myself I was, you know, going to offer up some things regarding food. And I got home and I wanted to eat that food. And I'm like, it was so tempting. I'm like, oh my gosh, are we grown up? Really? You're just going to give up, like Russell Brand was saying, I'm going to give up everything for my connection with God, you know? And it was so, the ways I was trying to do talk myself out of it, like, no, it's okay. You did other things. And it's not, but I knew that the Lord was inviting me to really allow that to purify me and to offer it up. And just to sit with myself and say, you know what? You're not going to die. This is not life or death. You're not going to die. And remember that person that you offered this up for, they really need that. So could you just return to that fidelity and allow it to purify you? It's only going to make you stronger. It's there's nothing, you know, disordered in that, and that's okay. And I just think we're afraid of the hard things sometimes. And it always depends on the heart with which we do things, but it's okay that it's hard. It's okay that it's purifying. It's okay that we're going to want to go back to the things we said we didn't want to do anymore. And we can, in those moments, recommit ourselves, allow ourselves to experience the difficulty and recommit ourselves and to choose like wholeheartedness. Because that's really, it's like the thousands of decisions that we make every day that form our character. I'm like, okay, well, what do you start doing when you just do the one thing? Oh, just the one thing. And then, oh, no, just the one thing. And then pretty soon you're like, whoa. Yeah. So I think it's the Lord calling us to deeper wholeheartedness.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny, sister. I was having the same inner wrestle, the temptation yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. I was just pondering all of that and talking to the Lord about it. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I was like, Lord, I love you. This is so dumb that I'm being tempted by this thing. I was like, I love you. And then the thought came to my mind. I remember somebody, I can't remember where this is from, but I was like, how can I like think that one day I might not reject the Lord as my Lord and Savior, or like, you know, face martyrdom if I can't even say no to gummy bears? Like, this is just like,
put that on a t-shirt. Like, I love it. Yeah.
I'm like, Heather, pull yourself together. This is like so small. It's like, sometimes you think you're in such a good place, and then I'm like, I'm ready to give it all up for a gummy bear. Come on.
I mean, so, when you start rebuking candy in the candy aisle, like, get behind me, Satan, you know, you're in a trouble place, you know. But it was interesting. Okay. Hashtag me too. Also, like, on Sundays, like, do you all do the Sunday thing? So Sunday I've been sick and I allowed myself to download, you know, social media again, because I keep it off my phone most of the days. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I realized, okay, Monday, Tuesday, it's still on my phone. I'm still scrolling. So I was like, okay, like, I need to just keep to my promises. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, all right, what do I need to do? And I actually told my teenage son, I'm like, hey, you know, I gave up social media for Lent. Can you hold me accountable? I just deleted it. And he's like, really, Mom? I'm like, yes. I was like, did you not notice I was sending you funny reels? Can you call me on it? You know, and he started laughing. He's like, okay, Mom, step away from
I need you to bust me.
Yeah, step away from the reels to stop sending us. But I was like, okay, like, but I wanted to model also, like, I need you to hold me accountable on this too, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing. So yeah, like, just, you know, like, he's redeeming us all, people, as Mother Mary Frances says, in the little gummy bears and all the things. So,
well, I think even what you're talking about, Michelle, is like, that's the harmony of familial relationships, whether it's the actual family or like our friendships, you know, that we have, the three of us or the people in our life. Like, that's how our hearts heal, is like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me with this? Or, hey, I see this really amazing thing in you. Like, that's so awesome. And that's how healing happens. And we don't do Lent in a silo, or we don't do Lent by ourselves, or it's my own little penance. It's like, it really, ideally, it's a communal life together, that we're all on the path toward the Lord. Our gaze is fixed upon him and we're walking to it together, not in our little tiny isolated silos, doing our own Lenten journey by ourselves.
Yeah. And she talked about that a couple of weeks ago, like, about really helping each other to grow in holiness and not just looking at ourselves. So yeah, that's awesome.
She talks about, like, all of us contributing. So, like, in this reflection, when she talks about filling up the sufferings of Christ and how Jesus left, you know, she said, it was his suffering, his redemption of the human race was a perfect act to which, as human beings, we can add nothing. It was a divine act, but it was also a human act by the head of the mystical body. In the human act of redemption, there is a measure for each of us to contribute. And I was thinking of how Jesus, how gracious and humble God is, that he would allow us to contribute, that he, and it was a real efficacious means of offering our life to him and taking on his life. Like, that's Christian discipleship, not just imitating him as a distant model, but literally taking on his life and allow him to take on our lives, and that he receives that from us and he takes it seriously. Like, Jesus takes us seriously. He doesn't kind of diminutively, like, you know, condescend to us and like, oh, cute little thing, you're helping out. But he's like, no, I actually need your love. And I need you to walk this journey with me, and we need each other. And that's so beautiful. It's just so gracious of the Lord.
And it's funny that we're talking about this, because I've been thinking more and more, and some high, you know, profile celebrities are really coming into the church. You know, like you all are just being interested in the church. And I heard someone was saying, mm-hmm. but they're talking about their past. And I was so disheartened. I even said them to them, I'm like, we all have past. Some people's are more prolific and some people's are, but we have, like, the beautiful thing about Christianity is we are not a cancel culture. We are a redemption culture.
Amen.
That is who we are. And I was like, and I absolutely love that they are coming into the church. Like, this is the gospel. This is redemption.
Yeah.
We all fall short. But then I realizing there was a certain person that lives in proximity to person, and they're just one person that's hard to love. But the Lord is like, really, can you see the imago Dei in them, that they're made in my image and likeness? Mm-hmm. And I realized, okay, like, they're giving me an opportunity to love. And even the areas that I just can't. And I was like, what is it in them that triggers something in me? And what is that? Because there's something about them that probably means there's something about me that I don't like about myself that they trigger, or just an attribute. But the Lord's like, can you see the imago Dei in them? And y'all, it's kind of hard, but I am, like, I'm trying. And I was like, please help me keep that lens on, and really also believe that nobody is too far from full redemption.
Amen.
There's no one. That's the gospel. And if we believe in anything different, I mean, we're living here at, you know, heresy. The Lord can redeem all. Random thoughts. There you go. Heather, what are your thoughts?
No, I mean, it's true. I think we create a very small God with those things. It's like, oh no, his arm is not strong enough to save everyone. And that's just not true. Like, that's the most hopeful thing to me, is that he will go to the darkest places. He will go and rescue the lost sheep. And that's me too. You know, that's not just like someone else. It's me. Even if I go to mass, even if I do all the right devotions, there are parts of me that are always very far from him, that need to be rescued and need to be saved and need to be redeemed and restored and healed and brought back into integration again. So
I'm so glad you guys talked about that, because it's so true. It's so easy to put people in a box and make them stay there.
Yes.
Or put ourselves in a box and then we have to stay there. And God isn't like that. And like St. Paul says, when he lists all the things, all the characteristics of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and some of you were that was you. Like, that was all you. And it's like, we can all say, like you're saying, Heather, like, here's what I was, and here's the things I used to do, and here's what I used to believe, and God has come into my life, and I'm not perfect, but I'm on the road to redemption. And at what point to, in our own self-righteousness, you know, are we not allowing people to inherit the kingdom of God in our own mind? Like, I don't know, you still don't deserve it. You should really suffer for that. And I don't know about you, but like, I've done some really awful things in my life, some really majorly catastrophic things in my life. And it's very humbling to look back at those things now and to have compassion and say, like, that it's not excusing my sin or brokenness, but like, I look at myself as that young woman. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so painful. That's so hard. And you know, what do we do? Like, I think we often hold ourselves stuck there or other people there. And when people repent and they're trying, like, where's the mercy? Like, where do we find, like, yeah, amen. Like, we've all been there, and that's humbling. Let's just keep walking. Let's go. Like, we're on a path of healing and integration and purification. Mm-hmm. And we have to allow everybody the room and the space to be able to encounter the Lord in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the second that we start, like, withholding God's mercy on behalf of God, like mercy to other people, I mean, these are serious things. And that's why I love at the beginning that she's talking about that seriousness, the urgency to look at those places in our hearts that we aren't the image of God. We maybe are representing poorly, or we're not allowing God to be God in our own life too.
It is. And I think it's a battle. And I think, like, we have a situation with one of our children, and some people had said some just not kind things about him and to him. And I was like, all right, we can't allow these things to take root. And I was saying to him, you are a good person and you are this, just telling him who he is. And like, you don't need to come into agreement with this person said. And even though they're an adult, like, you don't come into agreement, you let this go. But then it was interesting. I was really convicted. I was like, oh, I was telling him, like, you know, you almost like, you're good, you're smart, you're kind, you know, like that kind of thing. And then I was realizing, oh, I actually told Chris yesterday, I was like, oh, you know what I need to do? I need to come up with a battle plan for this kid. I need to have scriptures, because it's one thing to say these, you're good and you're kind and you're, you know, strong boy. But there's another thing to align my words with the living word of God.
Yeah.
And say, you are chosen, you are redeemed, you are, you know, because those are living and active words. Those are fighting words. Mm-hmm. Those are picking up the sword of, you know, the word of the God, which is the sword of spirit. Like, those are words to wield my sword. And I was just allowing other things to take root for this kid instead of where I'm like, okay, I need a battle for this kid, because his identity is being waged war against. So I need a battle for him, and I need to align with powerful words, not just nice words. Yeah. So it's just like, we do have to take that stance of, like Mother Mary Frances says, like, we're in a battle, we're in a war.
Amen.
I need those words over me, you know? And I think we forget, like, that our Catholic Church, we're scripture and tradition. The Lord has given us both of these tools, and we really need to wage war with them.
Yeah, that's really good. Debbie Herbeck and I just did a women's session at Franciscan, and we were talking about that exact thing, like, to battle with renunciation. So renouncing lies, and then the declaration of the truth in God, found in God's word. And it is such a game changer. I mean, it was powerful what was happening in the room. And I think, especially as parents or spiritual mothers or aunts or sisters or whatever, like, there's a lot that we can do in the lives of other people of just even renouncing and declaring on behalf of them.
Yeah.
And that's powerful stuff.
Yeah, because, like you both are saying, it is the living word of God. It is the living word of God, which is timeless and it's eternal and has the power to eradicate darkness and evil and Satan. And the more we come into agreement with the truth, what's eternally true, the more we enter into our true identity. And I appreciate, Michelle, what you're saying about that situation with one of your kids. And it's, isn't it so easy? I don't know, maybe what you guys think about this, but it's kind of a tangent, but it's like, just to internalize, it's so easy to internalize the things that happen to us and the stories that we tell ourselves and the stories other people tell us, to internalize that so deeply to the core of our being. And it's so contrary to what God says of us. It's amazing how we come into agreement with other things other than the truth of God. And we live by that. And I'm just incredibly astounded at times, like, that is entirely untrue. I have had my house resting, part of my house resting on that my entire life. And that is not true. And it's just that realization and then coming into agreement more deeply with the truth and just our whole bodily agreement, like a somatic agreement, not just an intellectual assent, but it's like agreement, the receptivity of it, heart, mind, body, and soul. That's a game changer. And that's Christian discipleship. Like, that's our whole life of coming into more deeply the truth of who God says I am, which nobody can change that. Thank God. Like, thank God nobody can change God's mind about us. I'm so grateful. You know, it's like, we can change our minds about other people. Like, we can talk about people, then we can have our minds changed. But God's like, no, I hear what you're saying, but no.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for that. Yeah.
And sometimes those things can be very subtle.
Like, exactly.
Sometimes it's not like a catastrophic moment that we even recognize. And that's why I love that in one of the days here, she's talking about the foxes in the vineyard. Yeah. And she says, this is on page 151 on the Kindle version. She says, one of the dangers of little foxes is that we're not very afraid of them. We draw back or we run from a large, ferocious, predatory bird or animal, but we can fail to fear these little foxes. They're so small, and that is their very power.
So
they can
good.
Get into the smallest crevice of our heart, of our soul. And I think sometimes lies like that or wounds like that, we can dismiss them as like, ugh, it's so dumb. It's not a big deal. Like, yeah, it didn't bother me or whatever we say, but really it's like a little fox that's taking root in the crevice of our heart. And in my experience, and I think just even in journeying with a lot of people, those things can often turn into a root system that become very far reaching within our life. And we need to allow Jesus to go right to the source of that and to speak his word, speak his blessing, speak his kindness, you know.
Well, anything else, ladies? Anything else you want to add to this episode or these thoughts?
No, I think, like, I love at the beginning of this, she talks about Michelangelo and the painter. Come with me on this tangent, people. Come with me on this tangent. And I was thinking to myself, I was rereading Edith Stein's beautiful thing about the sculptor, like the Lord is a sculptor and he molds us and shapes us. And it was interesting. And then I had a seminar about artwork. They were talking about different things of artwork and, like, how do you price art? How do you know it? And they said, really, it's subjective in some areas. How do people like it? But really, it's what will people pay for it is how you know the worth of the art. And I was thinking about that, then reading this, and I was thinking, oh, wow, what did the Lord pay for us? He paid with us for his life. And it just, like, was this epiphany moment. Like, that's how much we're worth, is this epiphany moment. Like, and this is what the Lord is like. He paid for our redemption with the greatest price. So we are his masterpiece and we are a work of art. an unimaginable work of art. Mm-hmm. And so when we come from that, like when we go back to what we're talking about, like identity, this is who we are. We are a masterpiece worth the most precious price. So to live out of that true identity is a game changer. To live out of that true identity, like we can suffer in obedience. To live out of that identity, we want to repent because we can be with this kind love that paid the ultimate price for us. And that's a tender, loving, powerful God, you know, and that's our truest identity. So we are the pearl of great price is us, you know.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And often when we don't know that and we don't believe that, then we start acting out of places that aren't rooted in our belovedness, right?
Yes.
So we give way to sin. We give way to shame. We give way to disgraceful behavior because we think that's all we are, you know, is just a disgraceful human being. And I love actually just as a last point that she talks about inner beauty being projected to the outer and being congruent with our exterior and our interior, that the exterior actions or whatever, she's talking about physical beauty in some way, but then she moves to, you know, the exterior things really can fade away very quickly if it's not congruent with the heart. And I think that place isn't just about actions as much as it's about, back again, allowing ourselves to really know our deepest worth and belovedness, that we are deeply loved mm-hmm. by God. And that is our worth, you know.
Amen.
Amen, friends. Yeah. It's a good week. It's a good word.
It's really good.
Well, Michelle, would you like to share your one thing with our listeners?
Yes. My one thing is Father Mark Mary. I won't say my favorite CFR. No, just kidding. One of my favorite CFRs has a beautiful book, and it's a reflection on the love of the Father, and it's 30 reflections on Father. It is so good. Mm-hmm. It is so good. And he just...
It's really good. I read it too. It's good.
Yeah. He just has like relatable stories. It is just amazing. Like it is really beautiful. And it is such a good journey that leads you into the heart of the Father. I highly recommend it. I think that's going to be like my graduation gifts this year to like seniors, and my boys are getting it in their Easter baskets and stuff like that. So I will post the link here to Father Mark Mary's new book. Sister, what is your one thing?
My one thing is an organization that one of our dear friends, Andrew Laubacher, is the executive director of, and it's called Humanality. And it's a really cool initiative of the tagline of their website is, "Let's reclaim the adventure of human connection. We help people get off their phones and into reality." Mm-hmm. And if you check out their website, humanality.org, they have a great initiative of having people get off their smartphones, whether it's high school students, college students. They're running pilot programs on 6 different college campuses of forming like authentic human connections, of becoming more engaged in like a digital culture. And it's a really cool, it's just a really cool initiative. So I just wanted to promote that. And if you're interested in bringing them to your campus or having Andrew come and speak at your parish, or it's just such great statistics that he offers, but also things that we know are true, that many times as all of us have been overcome by the tsunami of technology, and it's just going to get more and more intense, that I think is really helpful. So humanality.org, and the executive director is Andrew Laubacher, who's a dear friend of ours.
Yeah, it's so good. And he was showing me his little phone that he has.
Yes.
So it's like they're promoting these phones that aren't smartphones, but you can text and call or whatever. And I was ready to throw my iPhone like over the ledge and get one right then and there. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Miss Heather?
Yeah, my one thing this week is a new song by Gateway Worship. It's one of their chapel sessions, and it's called "Jesus Is My Healer." Mm-hmm. It is so good. I'm going to send it to you girls today, but it is so good. So we'll put the link with the little video in the show notes.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Yay.
Thanks, friend.
All right, friends, we're going to keep on keeping on, and we will be together in the journey. And until next week, we will be abiding together. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you liked it, would you please share it with a friend and leave us a review? We encourage you to head over to our website, abidingtogetherpodcast.com. where you can find all the show notes, links to our One Things, group discussion questions for each episode, and beautiful coffee mugs, t-shirts, journals, and prints in our shop. There you can also subscribe to receive our weekly email with links to each new episode and all of the content. We'd love to connect on social media and invite you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you can catch inspiring reflections every day. You're also welcome to join our private Facebook group and dive deeper into discussions with our fellow listeners. If the podcast has blessed you, would you prayerfully consider financially supporting us? The Abiding Together podcast is only available due to the generous support of our listeners. There are significant costs associated with creating this content, such as tech support, design, website, equipment, and hired staff that we need to be able to continue offering great content. Abiding Together is a nonprofit 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. You can make donations of any amount through the Patreon website, or you can send us a check directly if that's easier for you. If you donate $15 or more per month on our Patreon page, you become a Tribe member, and you will receive bonus content every month, such as recipes, music playlists, downloadable prints, and more. You can find all the information at patreon.com/abidingtogetherpodcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.